people that we should be able to offer as generously as this. For all things come from you, and from your hand we have given you. Just think about how blessed we are in this life. How many things God has blessed us with, and we realize that everything that we have is His. Everything belongs to Him to begin with, and we're just simply giving back, realizing what it is that He has blessed us with and giving back to Him. What a powerful thought. This morning, is before I begin, just a couple of little things that I want to share with you. Some of our kids are leaving again for another camp session. I know it's a wonderful time. You think about kids that are wanting to go to camp, wanting to learn, and wanting to be able to receive some things that are going to benefit them for all the rest of their life. And Chloe and Landon are going to go to Rock Creek this week, and I'm sure they're going to have a wonderful time. And Hayden just got home, but she's leaving again. She can't take being home more than 24 to 48 hours. She's running off to senior session again this afternoon. So we'll look forward to praying for them this week, if you don't mind, that they'll learn and they will grow in all that they're doing. And also, we've decided as a congregation to help Frog Grow Christian Camp. It's a little camp up north that we've gone to on some retreats, and they caught fire. The building caught fire a while back, and a lot of damage, and we're helping them a little bit. And they're going to be asking for some individual things from people. And if you're interested in that, you can see me, like some light fixtures and things like that that we can help that camp with. And so it'll be on their website or their Facebook page. But if you want any more information, holler at me about that. Ephesians chapter 5. We're talking, continuing our study in Ephesians chapter 5 and talking about the church. The importance and the glory of the church is the theme of this little letter. And Paul is writing to the church here in Ephesus, and he's sharing some things. And if you remember last week, we talked about the first couple of verses of chapter 5, about that sweet aroma, that thing that we loft up, that fire that goes from here, that smoke from here to God, that rises up from us to Him through that life and the example in Jesus Christ. And Paul talking about that life of Christ, and how we should live that same life. And he's developing again this whole idea of the church and the importance of the church, the importance of you and me and our life and what we are as a church. And he's showing what Christ did and how much Christ loved His Father, and He gave His life as a sweet aroma to Him, lifted that fire, that sacrifice, ascended to heaven to His Father in all that He did. And over the next several verses, we're going to look at some of those things. Some of what does it mean? How do we live this life? As He's encouraging us as the church to become very practical in some things in our life, we make choices. In verse 3, He says, "But immorality, impurity, and greed must not even be named among you as is proper among the saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting." Now what he says, Christianity isn't an easy thing. Christianity is going to take some thoughtfulness. Christianity is some things that we're going to actually have to stop and evaluate our life and look at the choices that we're making. Are we making the right kind of choices? And he says all of those things that come really easy in this world, to sit around and talk about and listen to, all of that, all of those things, that filthiness or silly talk, he said. How many times do we have conversations of silly talk? What would you define as silly talk? Well, get on Facebook and read it sometime, and you'll see a lot of silly talk. You'll see a lot of things that have no benefit to our life, that we'll spend hours upon hours at times talking about those things. And he says, that kind of stuff we don't have time for. But rather, give thanks, or the giving of thanks. Don't be like the world. If we want to offer up that sweet savor sacrifice to God, if we want the fire of our life to always be ascending to God in something that's pleasing to Him, we'll not choose the path of this life. We will choose the thoughtful path that follows in Christ's footsteps, that we'll give ourselves, and we will always be one who are giving thanks rather than talking about silly things of this world. verse 6. He says, let no one deceive you. Let no one deceive you with what? With empty words. How many times are people trying to draw our attention away? Someone trying to tell us something or get us to believe something that we know isn't right? You know that there are some things that are just, you just know it. And I don't know if I've told you, maybe I've told you this story, but my oldest son, Britton, he came home one day after being in school in, I can't remember if it's 7th or 8th grade, but we were talking one day, and he's visiting with me about one of his friends. And his friend is same age, and he comes home and he's telling him about all these cars that he's fixed. I'm like, fixed? What has he done? He's added all of these things, and you've seen those movies and stuff where the cars bounce. They get those airbags on them. They get the front end bouncing or the back end bouncing and all this stuff. There's quite a bit to that. Okay, I don't know how to install all that stuff, but it takes a whole lot. And he said, my friend does it. He's taught all these guys over at this custom car shop how to do all of this. Really? I've met your friend. He ain't that smart. I don't even know. He's more like that commercial where the two boys are on the side of the road and the car has a flat and the boy's on the phone with his dad and he says, of course I know what a lug wrench is. Is this a lug wrench? That's his friend, and I'm thinking, no, he doesn't. Britton, listen, you are so smart. You can't let someone like that deceive you into thinking some things. And he's like, yeah. We don't let the world deceive us into thinking things that aren't right. Don't let them pull you away. We have to be people who are constantly thoughtful about what we're doing. The things that we've given our life or we have contemplated about making decisions in this life. We don't need to be those people that are deceived. Be thoughtful in your thinking. Verse 7. He says, therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. He said, we should be so far away from these things, so far removed from them, we don't even talk about what people are doing in that dark. It's disgraceful. And you know, we could make a whole long list, and that's not what the point is just stay away from it. You know what darkness leads to. You know what those things are when he's talking about being in the dark. You know what those are. And he says, just stay away from that stuff. You don't need to do that. Matter of fact, you should expose it. Now, does that mean you go over where they are and open up the doors and the curtains and say, see what they're doing? No, it's not what he's saying. He's saying you teach against those things. You say, this stuff is not right. Let's don't huddle up over in a corner and talk and laugh and joke about what they're doing. We know what the truth is. Let's expose that stuff. As those who are trying to offer up a sacrifice, a sweet savor sacrifice to God through our life, then we make those choices not to be like this world. Those disgraceful things, even expose them. Where do spiders hang out? In crevices, under things, in the dark places, right? Climb under. If you have a crawl space under your house, anybody have one of those? Have you ever had to go in there and fix a leak or something? What does it look like? Wonderful? Oh, this is where I want to be. I can promise you, when I had to get under my house and I had it out there by the lake, you should have seen me. I don't know if I ever... I had coveralls on. I had gloves with duct tape around them. I had my bug out suit head net on with tape around it. I had tape around my waist so they couldn't get inside my shirt. I had everything on. I had 5 flashlights on me. I had a big lamp with an electric cord in case it went out or the electric went out. I had all of those. I had a machete, and I even had a gun and a fanny pack just in case, because I know what dwells in the darkness. I've been there. And I said, when I climbed back in there and I looked back, and there's a copperhead about this long going between me and the hole to get out. I'm reaching for my fanny pack because it's life and death. It's me or the snake. And I'm telling everyone else, get down. Hide. Why? Because it's darkness, that's poison, it's things I don't want anything to do with. There are fiddlebacks, there's black widows, there's all of those things there that I don't want anything to do with. And you flip on all the lights, and before long, most of those critters are gone. Guess what? It's the same thing with sin. When sin, in that darkness of this world, light is shed on it, it goes away. And when God's Word is opened up fully and we go, this is the reality, this is the light, and we allow Christ to live in us and through us, let His light shine in the world around us, that stuff goes away. But when we don't allow that to happen, it doesn't go away. It just draws more and more and more of those things that we don't want to be around us. Expose them even, he says. Verse 15. Therefore, be careful how you walk. Be careful how you live. Be careful of the things that you're doing in your life. Be thoughtful about the choices that you're making. Be thoughtful about the friends that you're hanging out with and the conversations that you're having. Be careful in the things that you're deciding you're going to do with your life. Be careful. Be careful how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. Literally, he says, there's no virtue there. No virtue in that. Jay Lockhart says in his commentary about this end, only an abandoned, debauched, out of control, and wasted life. Now he's saying it's a lightheartedness in this drinking of wine. And when we look at it and we study this, he's not a mean person. He's not some. It's just a lightheartedness. It's something that comes easy. And someone that's kind while they're drinking, kind of thing. And don't think. And what he's literally saying is someone that really doesn't think about what they're doing. And it's not that they're trying to hurt anybody. They don't care about life. They really don't care what's happening around them. That's what he's saying. A wasted life. Be careful how you walk. Don't waste your life. That's what he's saying. Now remember, he's talking to the church. And so, now the next little bit's what I really wanted to share with you this morning. The next few verses is what I want to share with you. Now he says, making the most of your time, verse 16, because the days are evil. Don't be foolish. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't get drunk with wine. Then look at the last of verse 18. He says, but be filled with the Spirit. Now here's the command that Paul is giving. Here's a command as a church. He says, this is what you need to do, individual and church collectively. You need to be filled with the Spirit. Now, I struggled with saying this morning, but recently someone made a statement that this passage is not anything that we should go to about talking about how we sing and about our worship. That's wrong. I'm sorry. This is a passage that we'll go to about worship. This is extremely important because he's talking to the church. He's not talking to just an individual life separate and apart from the congregation or the church. He's talking about the church. He's talking about especially our worship. And he's going to do some things here. When he says be filled with the Spirit, over the next couple of verses, he's going to tell us exactly what it means to be filled with the Spirit. That's exactly what he does. So over these next few verses, when he says be filled, then he's going to say all these things that are going to modify and are going to go back to the being filled to explain what that means. Okay? And so if we were to diagram a sentence, and I'm sorry if we have, I know some of you teach English, I don't remember exactly how all the diagram works, the subject and the verb and all of those things. I kind of remember there was lines and all that. But here is a diagram, a little bit. He's going to go back. In verse 19 and 20 and 21, he's going to go back and modify the words that he chooses, what being filled with the Spirit is. This is not a miraculous thing to start with. This is not him saying, be Holy Spirit filled and be able to perform miraculous signs. That's not what he's talking about. He's saying, this is our choice. You be filled with the Spirit. How are we filled with the Spirit? Here he goes. First off, he says, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and being subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Here's what he says. Be filled with the Spirit. How am I filled? Speaking, one, singing, two, giving, three, subjecting, four. Here's four things he says. In order to be filled with the Spirit, here's what you have to do. Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, if you look up the word psalmos, speaking to one another in psalms, psalmos, hymns, hymnos, and spiritual songs, oidi, those words in the Greek, you can do word studies on them, but literally throughout, they're almost interchangeable. And he's talking, he's divided two things. We're speaking and we're singing. And so he's divided this thing about how we're filled with the Spirit. Now you have to stay with me for just a minute, okay? He's telling us two different things. Speaking to one another. The focus is on those around us. Now, while we're speaking in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, while we're singing collectively, we're doing two things. One, we're speaking to one another. Now, speaking, this word, laleo, is translated talk, utter words, preach, say, speak, tell, talk, all those kinds of words. It's translated different ways. But he's saying, our duty in doing this, while we're singing hymns and psalms and spiritual songs, while we're doing that, what are we doing to one another? And at this point, by being filled with the Spirit, we are choosing to use the words that we're saying for the benefit also of those around us. And that's what he says in Colossians chapter 3, teaching and admonishing. Same thing, right? And he says, so while we're singing to one another, we're admonishing and we're edifying and we're doing those things. We're maturing and we're helping strengthen the body while we're doing those things. Then he says, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Now he's transitioning or he's helping. He's putting this thought together and he's saying, first off, there is a horizontal in our singing, and there is a vertical. There is a man, there is a God. We sing for the benefit of one another. We also sing with direct focus and attention to our God. Now, it's really not that difficult. This is not a doctoral thesis that he would expect someone to write. This is a pretty simplistic thing. The people listening to this understand this. They got it. We struggle with it some today. But now he says, singing and making melody with your heart. What? To the Lord. Now, literally, if we translated this, just literally what it would say would be singing while plucking the strings of your heart. That's exactly what he says in this verse. Now, we sing, or speak, different word than sing, two different words. We're speaking to one another, and we're singing to God as a church. We don't want disunity. We want to be unified. We want to be doing the same things wherever we are. All the things that we're doing in this life as a church, we need to be united in. And Christ is going to unite us. When we listen to Him, when we follow His Word, and we understand what He wants from us, we'll be united. Singing and making melody with your heart. Making melody. Paul is using kind of a picture, an analogy, as he's drawing from the Psalms. And if you were to go back and read the Psalms, and the numerous Psalms, the psalmist would write about singing to the Lord, and then he would add this phrase, with the harp. Sing praises to the Lord with the cymbals. Sing praises to the Lord, and he would say, with what it was, what instrument that you were supposed to sing with. And so Paul is drawing on that, and he understood that, and he is a great historian, great Jewish historian. He knows that, and so he's using that in this verse. And that's why he says, singing to the Lord while plucking the strings of your heart. He chose the instrument just like the psalmist did, and he chose it and he gave it to us. And he said, here's what makes God happy. Here's what the truth is you sing to God, and the instrument you use is the heart. You don't need a harp. You don't need cymbals. You don't need those things to make God happy with what you're doing. And that unifies us in all that we are about and all that we're doing. So like Psalms 33, 2, 71, 22, 144, 9, we are to sing with the heart, the Christian's chosen instrument by God. Speak to one another. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. We'll learn to speak to one another. We'll help one another, mature one another. We'll strengthen each other in the truths of God's Word through the songs that we're singing, through the hymns, the spiritual songs, the psalms. All of those things that we have at our disposal, and in singing and making melody with our heart. Then he says, being filled. It's not only speaking, it's not only singing, but it's also giving. Giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Now look what he says in giving thanks. How often? He says, always. Give thanks always. Well, man, there's some tough things in this life, isn't there? How do we give thanks always? We give thanks always because we know that what? All things in Romans chapter 8, 28, God will work out everything. He will cause everything to work for good for those who love the Lord. So how do we give thanks in everything? We give thanks no matter what it is in this life, whether it's the hardships that we've had to go through, we can give God thanks that He got us through them. That we've been matured, that He's given us the ability to get through that. Just like Job was able to be strengthened in all the things that happened in his life, we too can give thanks always. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, he says, as in everything give thanks. How are we filled with the Spirit? We speak to one another. We sing and make melody. We give thanks continually or always. And then at last he says, and we subject ourselves to one another in the fear of Christ. Speak, sing, give, and now subject. What do you mean subject? I have to do what everyone tells me to do? That's not what he's saying. So what does it mean to subject ourselves to one another? What is the best thing? What is best for someone else in this church? How do I subject myself? And maybe my opinion is just my opinion, or maybe there's some things that we need to make a choice, a decision on something. And he says, you know what? It really doesn't matter. And maybe it does matter far more to this person than to you. And so what do? You use that opportunity to allow that to happen. You subject to them. This is not a faith issue on that. But he says, you learn to serve one another. They're subjecting. You learn to love one another. What is the best for someone? What can you do to take care of them? You learn to pray for one another. What's going on in their life? What do you need to pray about? How do you need, and who do you need to pray for? Maybe we need to be admonished or admonished. You need to learn to subject yourselves to one another. How though? In the fear of Christ. I'm going to live my life as he did. How many times did Christ subject himself to the Father? Now, I know that we're not the Father, but it's the attitude. It's the attitude of how we live and the choices that we make and the things that are important to us. And this body becomes so vitally important that I'm going to even stop doing what I'm in the middle of doing, and I'm going to go help somebody that needs my help, and I'm going to subject my will, my thoughts, to help with whatever's going on in their life. That's what the body does. And he says it's so powerful that when we start learning to do this, when we start living by being filled with the Spirit, then the world sees this difference. And then not only the world sees it differently, but our Father. And that aroma that's being lifted up to Him, it changes its scent. The smell changes. And no longer is it just a smell of burnt flesh, but now that it's a sweet aroma, it's something that pleases Him. And that's what we're after. That's what we're trying to do. Paul, church, be changed. Don't be like this world. Don't be deceived into thinking like it thinks, but follow after Jesus Christ. Love Him. Look at His life. Do the things that He did, the life that He lived. Live the same kind of life. Offer up your life, that sweet savor, aroma, to God our Father. God's story to the world. God's story to the world will never come about if His church isn't sharing it. The world is never going to know about Jesus Christ if His body isn't teaching it. That's what we're called as a church to do, to love God and to love our fellow man and to teach them the truth. We have been chosen to be the light on that hill so that all can come to know Him. What a great thing. What a wonderful honor and blessing it is to be the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, isn't it? There is no greater honor than to be a family of His. Now, I had a family reunion yesterday, my mom's side of the family. And there is a lot of people who played horseshoes and other games, and we got to sit around and talk and visit and do all of those things. And family reunions are sometimes are okay, sometimes they're really good, sometimes you just have a blast at them. And it depends upon all kinds of things. But we'll do that, and we'll take time, and we'll go to those, and we'll celebrate. But what about this family? One day we're going to have the reunion of all reunions. How many people do you have up here that you cannot wait to see? Can you name someone right now? Can you think, this is the one I can't wait to see? Maybe it was a spouse or a parent. Maybe it was one of your children. We know we're going to be there one day. That's a promise for His family and His church. If you don't have that promise in your life, why not? Why don't you have that? He's offered it to you. All you have to do is accept it. Put yourself in Jesus Christ by being immersed into Him. That's what God's Word says we do. Give our life immersed into Christ, and there we receive all the blessings of sonship, of being added to the church, of all the things God has for us. It's just naming Christ. What a powerful blessing it is. And so if you're not part of that church, you're not part of His kingdom, then there's no better time than right now to make that decision. So if you need to make that decision, we ask you to do it right now while we stand and we sing together. Christ, your broken life, self marred by sin, will create a new